that, Andy, or what?
There we go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have good news for you. And the good news that I have for you this evening is, this is a user-friendly universe that we live in. This universe is a very friendly place to be. Sometimes we look out and we think that it isn't. But the universe is very friendly. And this earth that we live on is very friendly. We run into many difficulties because of the way people are thinking. But this earth is not against us. The universe is not against us. And certainly this thing that we call God is not against us. So if we live in a friendly universe, and we live in a universe that supports us and supports every one of our needs, and that we have this intelligence, this light, this energy that runs through the universe, which we call God, and it operates in as and through us, and it also wants to support us and wants us to have everything that we want here on this grand adventure that we ourselves decided to take when we incarnated on this planet. You have to remember that we are the ones who chose to come here. And we chose to come here because we needed to learn something. And usually what we came here to learn is we must learn to love ourselves. And we must learn to love ourselves unconditionally. And that is why we are here. There is no other reason for us. Now, if we look at it in that way and we know that it is a wonderful adventure, then we should be having fun all the time. We should be enjoying what we are doing on this plane of action. Instead of thinking, oh, I have to get up and go to work. Oh, this is happening. Oh, that is happening. And always making difficult situations for our own self. It is a choice. Life is a choice. You can decide if it's going to be a difficult life for you or if it's going to be an easy life for you. Frankly, I've tried to choose always the easy way. And you want a race mind alert. There's a wonderful race mind alert because most people say, oh, you always pick the easy way out, as though there is something wrong with that. If you don't have stress, struggle, and strain in your life, and you're picking the easy way out, there is something wrong with you. That is what the world is teaching. And that is not true. Yes, we decided to incarnate on this planet because we needed to learn something. But we also are here to have a great adventure, to have fun, and to make our lessons easy. But somewhere along the line, things got mixed up. And they say, oh, unless it's hard and difficult, you can't learn anything. Things don't come to you easy, you see. Well, let's change that all around and let's know that things come to us very easily. That what we want comes to us easily, that we don't have to have all these difficulties, all this struggle and so forth that we see going on in the world. That is a total race mind idea. I go to a yoga class, which I absolutely adore. But one of the things that they say, and you hear this in every exercise class, no pain, no gain. Now, I firmly do not believe that. I think you can gain a lot without having pain. But that is another race mind idea. You don't have to have pain to gain things. So change your mind about why you are here. And change your mind that things do not have to be difficult. Because other people are having difficulties does not mean that you have to have difficulties. Because other people live their lives always in that drama, in that stress, in that strain. And they say, well, that's life. That's just the way life is. That's the way their life is. It doesn't have to be the way your life is. You can decide, you can choose how you wish your life to be. That is the wonderful power that we have. And we do that through the use of our mind. tonight's topic is letting go. And you've all heard the expression, let go and let God. Well, that's a wonderful expression. And I think they use that in every 12-step program. And that's true, let go and let God. But letting go is completely different than let go and let God. When I have this letting go, it means letting go of all the limitations that you have put on yourself. Letting those go. Because we live in a universe that is unlimited. We live in a universe of total possibilities. So, if we live in a universe that's completely unlimited, and that we have a God that is completely unlimited, and that we are one with the universe, and we are one with this thing called God, then we also have to be completely unlimited. But our thinking causes limitation all the time. We think something, and we say, oh, well, I can only do that much, I can only do this much, blah, 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 blah. Whatever is going on, we're the ones that are always putting the limits on everything that we do. And we're certainly always putting the limits on our thinking. How far can we think? We're afraid to think too far ahead. We're afraid to think great thoughts. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to imagine and to vision and see yourself with all the things that you want. That's what this thing is all about. That's what this whole adventure is about. And this adventure, one day, will end. And you'll go on to a different adventure. So learn how to live this adventure so that you can take all that experience with you to the next adventure and make that adventure even better than this adventure. But we have the choice here to make this the greatest experience. The greatest experience. And we don't do that because we limit ourselves all the time. We limit ourselves by looking out into the world and saying, well, the world's not doing it. Other people aren't doing it. So therefore, I cannot do it. Don't do that to yourself. You can do anything you put your mind to. Anything you put your mind to. But you have to let go of the limitations. And we'll get into what some of the limitations are later in the lecture. This thing that we're talking about, that operates in, as, and through us, this thing that we call God, knows that we are unlimited beings. But for some reason, when we incarnated on this planet, we forgot that. We completely forgot that. And we allowed the world to take it away from us. Even our parents took that away from us. Not that they meant to take that away. Somebody took it away from them, and they said, that's the way the world works. And they said, we better toughen you up, and we better tell you the realities of life right now. And all those realities of life that they taught you were limiting. They didn't teach you an unlimited adventure. They didn't teach you anything that was unlimited. They always taught you something that had a limit to it, because their life had a limit to it. And because their life had a limit to it, they thought everybody's life had a limit to it. Now, you don't go back and hate them or scold them or anything for that. That's their thinking. But we can change our thinking. And the way we start to change our thinking is to start to see ourselves differently. To start to see ourselves differently. If we say that God is perfect and that God created us, therefore we must be perfect also. Because a perfect being can only create perfection. Therefore, we are perfect in every way. And that chair's for you, young lady.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you. More, please.
Yes. So, perfection was taken away from us. As soon as we were incarnated on this planet, we came through our parents. And we chose those parents in some fashion. But as soon as we came in, we forgot our perfection. And once we got here, no one was going to tell you that you were perfect. And certainly none of the institutions that are running the world are going to tell you that you're perfect. Because if you think you're perfect, what is going to happen to those institutions? You won't need them any longer. You won't need them any longer. So that was taken away from us. And I can go back and tell you that it was taken away probably in the 4th century. Probably in the 4th century. Before that, there were groups of people, like the Essenes, who knew their perfection. They knew their connection to this power that we call God. And they knew that they were not separated from that. But after the 4th century, separation became a big thing. And in the 4th century also, many lies started. Lies started through omission. Things were taken out of sacred texts because the people in authority didn't understand them. So they thought, if I don't understand it, certainly the common person's not going to understand it, so let's just rip that out of there. And if it certainly told you that you were connected to a power that you could use, they ripped that out of there also, because they do not want you to know your perfection. And the world today does not want you to know your perfection. You have to know that you are perfect. You have to know that you're absolutely connected to this thing that we call God. And you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These are the things that you start with. Every morning when you get up, tell yourself that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that this whole universe is here for your pleasure, for your use. You see? It's a friendly universe. It's user-friendly. And you can learn how to use it. And you can learn how to use this power. This thing that we call God can only do for you what it can do through you. And it, when I say through you, that means through your consciousness. That means through your thinking. You see, because it will always match you in your thinking. So you must change your thinking so that the power can come through you even better than it already is. And you see, if you don't think well of yourself, this power is not going to change that. It is not going to change your mind. You have to change your mind. There is one of the little secrets. Everyone thinks, well, if I pray to God long enough, I'll get what I want. No, you will not. I'm sorry to tell you. You can pray from now to doomsday. And if you don't change your attitude about yourself, if you don't realize that you're worthy, deserving, total, that you matter, you are not going to get what you want. That is not the way the universe works. Once you learn how the universe works, once you learn the language of the universe, then the universe will work for you. And the language of the universe is always going to be feelings. How are you feeling about yourself? And get that feeling going so that you know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah.
It's getting bigger.
It's true. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That startled you for a moment, didn't it? But then you sort of got into it, didn't you? Yeah. You have to know that you matter. If you don't know that you matter, what do you think God's going to do? Very little. Very little, because God matches your thinking. God matches your thinking. Now, we were talking earlier about race mind. One of the race mind things that is always going on out there is that things are not easy, that it's difficult. What is one of the things that the world tells you that it's most difficult to do? Make money. The world never says making money is easy. They always say it's very difficult to make money. So you have that idea in your head that it's hard to make money. Change that idea. It's always easy to make money. I make money easily and effortlessly. Money is always freely circulating in my life, and I always have a divine surplus. I am a money magnet. Money comes to me from all sources, from every corner of the universe. It's flowing to me right here and right now. This is what we put in our minds. This is the affirmations that we do. This is changing your thinking about things. And this is letting go. It's letting go of the old ideas that you have, the old beliefs, the old viewpoints, and the old opinions. Just let them go. They are not serving you. They are no longer working for you. So you change them. You change them. I have mentioned this many times, and I'll bring it up again this evening. Most of the big things that you have decided in life, you decided when you were 5 years old. During that period of time, from in judgment of years, you're five, is when the mind absorbs most of the things that you have learned. And on the other hand, all the things that you've learned, here's the biggest thing that you probably don't know. 99% of what you know is not true. 99% of the things you think you know are not true. That's a big one, isn't it? We have lived with so many misconcepts. I'm not going to call them out and out lies. They're misconcepts. And we start to think about them, and we start to do. And if you want to know how fickle the world is, I was in the grocery store today, and it says doctors have changed their mind about estrogen. I went, now they've changed their minds again? Now, to put your faith in the world and the opinions of the world and the opinions of authorities, especially the medical profession, sorry, I'm not knocking them, but they constantly change their mind about something. And immediately people buy into it. Oh, I've got to take estrogen. They told me to take estrogen. Da, 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 da. Oh, estrogen causes cancer. Stop taking it. Oh, okay, stop taking it. Oh, we've changed our mind. Okay, I'll take it again. That's total race mind. And that's totally buying in to all that stuff that's out there. And that's the stuff you have to let go of. It's those ideas that you have to let go of. And you can do that. And that's what this whole thing is about. Letting go of all the misinformation that you have. Just let it go. And start to think for yourself. Start to think for yourself. But always remember the four things. Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Because the world is not going to tell you that. And very few people are going to tell you that. But when you realize that, and when you make that part of your being, everything in your life changes. Everything in your life changes. And wouldn't that be nice to wake up every day and know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? Wouldn't it make all the difference with this wonderful adventure that you're going through? That it makes sense then, you see. And how many people think, oh, It doesn't matter what I do. It always matters what you do. Every thought that you have goes someplace and does God know. And it certainly collects into what we call race mind. And that's why we're in the difficult situation that we're in, because we keep depositing bad things in this thing that we call race mind. And then we live in that race mind all the time. And we don't correct anything, and we take it for granted, and we don't bother to look at it. And we have to learn to look at it. We have to learn to look at it. Race mind always teaches separation. It always teaches separation. And we have to know that we are united not only with God, but with each other. Remember our saying, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. God is everything. God is everywhere. God is in everything. God is through everything. Here again, I talk always about the fourth century. The reason why I talk about the fourth century, in the fourth century, the church got together at a conference at
Nicaea,
thank you, and decided to do all this crazy stuff and take things and do this, that, and the other thing with it, and it causes separation. Now, we talk about letting go, and we talk about things that we learned that we're still using today, and we think, oh, there's nothing absolutely wrong with that. Okay, here's the beautiful example is the Lord's Prayer. And everyone says the Lord's Prayer, and they think, isn't that wonderful? Our Father, who art in heaven. What does that do immediately? It separates. It says, the Father's in heaven, and you're down here. So, bye, bye, bye. Mm-hmm. The original from the Essenes was, Radiant One, you shine within us, outside us. Even darkness shines when we remember. Radiant One, you shine within us, outside us. Even darkness shines when we remember. This is translated from the Aramaic, and it's from the Dead Sea Scrolls. So you see, things got changed around. And the reason that we're in the situation that we're in, each and every one of us, not only the total world, but us individually, is because we were taught separation. We were taught that we weren't one. And if you think that you're not one with God, how can you ever think that you're perfect? And you must think that you are perfect. You must know that you're perfect. You must know that you're perfect in every way. That everything about you is perfect. But the world wants to tell you, oh, something is wrong with you somewhere. The world is always going to find something to nitpick you so that you never feel perfect. And the whole idea of this adventure is to learn that you are perfect and that you are perfect in every way. You see? Each and every one of us is an individualized expression of God, and we are perfect. We are absolutely perfect. We don't look like each other. And my one arm may be longer than the other one. This may happen or that may happen. But I'm still perfect. And you're still perfect. But the world says, oh, you're not. Let me lengthen the other arm for you. Let me fix this for you. Let me fix that for you. And we're always going around looking for fixes. And all those fixes are on the outside of life. And the outside of life, what you see on the outside, is an illusion. The life that you have is the life that is inside of you. It's what's going on inside of you that makes your life. And what's going on inside of you is what? Your emotions,
your feelings. How am I feeling about myself today? How am I feeling about myself today? Am I always holding myself in the highest of esteem? Am I always holding myself in the highest of esteem? You have to do that. The highest form of worship you can give this thing that we call God is to love yourself. Is to love yourself. And I'll back up a moment and also try to explain to you that we do that because we need to do that. Not because God needs us to worship it. God is far and above worship of any type. We're the ones that need it. God does not need it. You understand? You see. But we're taught, oh, we must worship God all the time. We must worship God all the time. Oh, please. Start worshiping yourself. Start seeing yourself as the magnificent human beings that you are. Start doing that. Okay? So, let's look at these handouts that I gave you. Yes, I've had, if you can look down here, you'll see it. I think this is from 2002. And it's always in my life when you need something, you find it. And on Saturday, I was rooting through things, and this fell out, and I thought, oh, I better read that. Yes, February 2002. Now, for some people, it's a speak-through or a channel thing. That never bothers me in the least. If it bothers somebody, it'll just have to bother you. Because it's what is said here that is the most important thing. And if the idea here, the limitation of disbelief, I have gave you an affirmation, and I give everyone this affirmation all the time. I believe, but help me with my unbelief. Because we always have a little shadow of a doubt. A little shadow of a doubt. We have to correct that unbelief. And when we're not getting what we want, it's not because we don't believe, it's because we have a disbelief going on. And that disbelief slows the whole process down and sometimes causes the whole process not to work. Because the disbelief is stronger than the belief. We say to you, and you say it to speak through, we say to you, that to make your dreams come true, first you need to see the vision. And then you need to untangle the knot of your own disbelief. Know that it is not so much what you believe, but what you do not believe that is your obstacle. You believe many things, but your disbelief often disempowers your beliefs. You see, beliefs are a wonderful and unique type of venture. Creative power requires belief solely focused to manifest in your life. If you have disbelief, it dilutes the belief and you begin to have confusion in your life. How many people have confusion in their life? Yes, because of some disbelief, you see. It's always going to be because you're believing something that is not true. And we're usually believing something that is not true about ourselves, which is a limitation in itself. And it's probably something that somebody handed you when you were small, when you were young, when you were 5 years old. Somebody said, you're clumsy. And for all your life, you took that in and said, I'm clumsy. I'm clumsy. You see, that's a limitation right there. That's a limitation. And usually when somebody grows up with the idea that they're clumsy, they are clumsy. They become clumsy because that's the conclusion that they come to. So don't come to any conclusions in your life about who you are and what you are. Have an unlimited mind. Have a mind that can change instantly. As soon as you find out new information, let the other information go. You're saying you don't have to be right about anything. You don't have to be right about anything. And we know in this generation of information that we have now, with this internet and so forth, information is flying here, there, and everywhere. And information is changing constantly. Minute by minute, new information is coming in, faster than we can process it. But you have to let go of the old information to gain the new information. But you also, here's the thing, you must keep an open mind about everything, but not that open that your brains fall out. You see, and that's what some people do. You have to be able to see these things for what they are, to see the truth behind it. At any time information comes to you that limits you in any way, it cannot be true. That limits you in any way cannot be true. You see? You understand that? Does anyone know, have an example? Does anyone know what that means exactly when I say that? Okay, what does that mean? You go to a doctor and the doctor says to you, you have this, this, and this, and you have 6 weeks to live. That's a limitation right there. That's a limitation. You have to know that you're completely unlimited. And that's his limitation, not your limitation. You see? Okay, everything. You can't do that because you don't have... That's a limitation. Anytime you hear any of those things, you can't, but that's a limitation. So, think of yourself with no limits whatsoever. And if you had no limits whatsoever, what would you do with your life? What would you do if you knew that you were completely unlimited? And now, while I'm at it, I'll throw this in. What is the biggest limitation that most people think that they have, and it's the one that keeps them from doing what they want to do?
Money.
And what do we know about money?
Money
is never the issue. Money is never the issue. When you go down deeper into that, you will discover that it's not the issue. Years ago, 25 maybe, years ago, I decided to open up a restaurant. And people said, how are you going to do that? I said, I haven't the faintest idea how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And they said, but you have no money. And I said, that's absolutely true, I have no money. But I went out and bought a restaurant anyway, with no money. And I sold the restaurant too. Now, how did I do it? I have no idea how I did that, except to tell you that the restaurant was for sale. The lady that was selling it was willing to finance me. And the bank said, okay. And the bank owned the leasehold. And the bank, you know, banks are notoriously poor managers of property. You know, it's not their forte. They don't know what they're doing. So the reason why that this restaurant was able to work and why I wanted it was with the leasehold, you got all free utilities. So all the ovens could go night and day, all the lights could go night and day, all the all the air conditioners could go night and day. I know. So you had none of that. Yeah, this is true.
It's 30% of your overhead.
Or more. This is in Atlanta, Georgia. You know, a hot summer, what it can do to a light bill. Whew. In a building, you know, in my stuff. I never gave money a thought. I said I want a restaurant. And a commercial real estate person took me around, and she didn't say, could I see your checkbook? Where's the money? How are you going to do this? And the woman who was selling the restaurant didn't ask me for credentials, didn't ask me for anything. And she was willing to take back the note that she had, and I just paid that note, her note. And it worked without money. Without money. I wanted an apartment. And you know, you have to come up with the first month's rent and something, the rent and the last month's rent, which in this now can run into a lot of money. So somebody said, how are you going to do that? I said, I have no idea how I'm going to do that, but I'm going to get this apartment. Well, I got the apartment. Not only with no money down, but I got it for nothing, because when I went to see the man about the apartment, he said, would you like to manage the building for me? I said, yeah. What does it require? And he said, well, we'll give you the apartment. Now, the first apartment that I had in that building was a studio apartment about the size of this room. And then it had a bathroom and a closet off there. Beautiful big window here that overlooked Piedmont Park. Then I was in the real estate business at the time, and I sold that building because I knew the owner of the building and I knew somebody who wanted to buy it, and I put the two of them together. No, that's not true. But let me back up. A lady in our real estate place is in the commercial business, and she said, do you know of any apartment buildings that are for sale? And I said, well, maybe mine would be. I'll ask the owner if he wants to sell. And I said, do you want to sell your building? He said, yes. And so I put him in contact with Mary Beth. Mary Beth sold it and gave me a check for $20,000. Now, what did I do? I just sold my apartment right out from under me. I sold it to another. Oh, my God, now I'm going to have to move. So, when the new buyers came, I met them and talked to them, and they said, oh, you're managing the building? I said, yes. Would you like to stay on as management? I said, well, yes, but you know, this is a very small apartment. And they said, well, we could give you a bigger one. We could give you the two-bedroom up. It's coming available. We'll give you the two-bedroom upstairs, and we'll give you free utilities and a maid service. Oh. I said, thank you very much. Never put a deposit down. Money is never the issue. Now people say, how do you do that? How do I do that? Sometimes I don't know. But I'll tell you the one thing that I do know. I never think that it's going to cost money. You see, when somebody said, oh, you'll have to have a deposit, I went, oh, I never heard of such a thing. Because I never, my mind does not say, oh, I have to have a deposit. Does this make sense to you, what I'm saying? You see, everyone else knows that you have to put a deposit down, you have to do all this stuff. I never knew that. So I just went about doing things. And it worked. And it worked. I got one in South Pasadena, too, the same way, about 10 years ago.
You say money is never the issue, which is wonderful. I can wrap my mind around that. But it totally puts my focus on money. So what's the other side of that coin, or what is that? What is the issue, I guess?
Oh, the issue is within you. You think that money, that everything's money. It's your mind. You have to change your mind that you can have things without money. Remember, the name of this course, this class, is Prosperity and Abundance Including Money. If I would have made it a money class, I would have called it a money class. I'm telling you, abundance and prosperity including money. You can have all prosperity and abundance without money. But I threw money in there because people love to have cash. They love to have things. And it's most people do not think that they're prosperous or abundant unless they have money. And you can be very prosperous and very abundant and have no money. You can go places. You can do things. I just got that trip to Mexico. Did that cost me? It cost me a plane ticket. It's all it cost me. The rest of it was all paid for. They invited me down to that wonderful place. You see? But other people say, oh, well, I couldn't go because it costs money. Where are you going to stay? And the hotel bills and this and that and the other thing. I never think of those things. I never think of those things. I just last week had a friend of mine, Louise Weldon, and I, when I was in the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, decided to start the junior church. And we started the junior church. And her daughter then was 5 years old. Her daughter now is, I think, 25. And is getting her practitioner's license through a religious science church in Chicago. Louise sent me an email saying, Dallas, I consider you part of the spiritual family, and I would like you to be there when Rainbow gets her certificate to become a practitioner. I will buy your ticket and pay your way. Let me know what date suits you. Abundance and prosperity. I'm going to Chicago, with no money. It's not going to cost it. Does this make sense? Can you see how you can do this and have a wonderful life? Well, yes, you want money also. But you can't always be focusing on the money. You have to focus on what you want. You have to focus on the prosperity and abundance, because money is never going to be the issue. You know darn well in your life, if you wanted something and you wanted it bad enough, you got it, whether you had money or you did not have money. Did you not? Because the mind will do that for you. The mind will do that for you. You see? So that's why we don't make it an issue. Now, does that help you at all, Andy? You see? But most people think, oh, only money. You see, my uncle had a saying, money talks, everybody else walks. And he thought money was the most important thing in life. So many people think that money is the most important thing. And it's not the most important thing. It is not the most important thing. What is the most important thing? People.
People first, then money.
That's your friend.
Susie.
People are always the most important thing. People are always the most important thing. Who had a question?
But people can have millions of dollars and not be happy. And
yes.
That's the proof that, you know, and Oprah was talking the other day that, yeah, I know y'all out there in the audience are saying, but give me money and I'll show you I'll be happy. And she said, you know, that's not true. And, if, you know, people will sit and go, yeah, well, that's easy for you to say, or, but look how much she's got. So then we make money that issue. And
I know a lot of people with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And when I say a lot of money, I'm not talking like $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm talking into the millions. Yeah. I'm talking people with all the planes and cars and trains that they want. And they're sick. They're never happy. They don't know what they're doing. I know a young person right now who's got more money than I may have when I make my transition. And he's not happy. He cannot make himself happy in any way. And he's sitting on a great sum of money, which also is a great spend. But because, if I spend that, it's never enough. It's never enough. You have to know that it's enough. Do you have questions?
I used to have employees and I would give them raises and we'd have to do reviews and all that stuff. And you know what I found out through just all these years, that a raise, no matter how much you give, is never an incentive and it never makes them happy.
Right.
If you can give them 20%, why didn't you give them 30%? You know, I mean, it's just bizarre that it's never the issue. In it?
Yes.
And yet we only try to make it.
Yes. And the issue with around money, personally, what you have to get over is you are not going to be happy. Money is not going to do the thing that you want it to do for you. It's never going to do that. And people think, oh, once I get the money, I'll be happy once this happens. And it's always, their whole life is around money. Like the Oprah show. Well, if I had money, you'd see the difference. I'd be happy. I'd be this. And we know that that is not true. We can look out and see people.
because if $1 million dropped in everyone's lap today, it will not change the way you feel about yourself. If you don't know from day one that you're totally lovable, deserving, worthy, and that you matter, if you don't know those things, money is not going to make it. And people think, well, if I have money, then I'll really matter, and everyone will know I matter. Mm-hmm. If I drive the biggest car, people look at me and say, boy, that's something. Well, you can have the biggest car, and you can drive all around town, and people may look at you and say, oh, isn't that wonderful that he has a big car and this, that, and the other thing. But while you're driving that car, what does your mind say? You're not worthy. You're not worthy. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Who wants to drive around town like that? I'd rather take a bus and be happy. I'd rather take a bus.
Or you can be driving your big old car and be happy.
You can. You absolutely can. But you have to know that you're worthy, deserving,
right,
totally lovable, and that you matter.
Without the car.
Without the car.
Right.
That it's not the car that's doing it. Nothing on the outside of life has any influence on you whatsoever. It is what you are thinking about yourself that is causing everything in your life. What you are thinking about yourself is causing everything in your life.
Very interesting kind of thing comes up in my mind right now.
Yeah, could you speak up a little louder?
All right. Very interesting things coming up in my mind. You know how my mind works. currently, I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I'm having a wonderful time. I'm in exactly the position that I wanted to be. I have no responsibilities. I've got the motorcycle, the truck's paid for, I've got the apartment and a job, and I'm going, well, you know, this is plenty. But there's a concern that I'm settling for what is, and that I'm no longer motivated to continue to grow and have more.
Oh, yes, well, that's a little trick of the mind. Mm-hmm. And let's look at it this way. Before the white man came to the United States, Indians were here for at least 2,000 or 3,000 years. I think in New Mexico now, one of the things, I think they've been here for 6,000 years. Mm-hmm. One of the places that have been inhabited. Mm-hmm. They never moved a thing. They didn't have the society structure that we had. They didn't go to work and so forth. They were very happy. They went out, they got their daily bread. They said, this is enough, this is fine. Look around, isn't it beautiful and all? Now, did they have to be motivated to build skyscrapers and to move mountains and to build highways and all that to say that life is worth anything? But no, they didn't. And we still have tribes in South America and so forth that are living the same as they have for eons. But they're happy people. They're happy people. I just heard of a tribe, and this is wonderful. And in their language, they have no word for want. Is it goodbye? Yeah, maybe it's one goodbye. But they have no, and I thought, isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. So they never want for anything.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
And what gets us into the trouble that we're in? Wanting something all the time. Always wanting more. And they don't have it in their language. And what do we know about language? Language structures thought. Language always structures thought. So if you didn't have the word want in your language, think of the difference it would make in your life. It would make a complete difference. But we're here, and we're in this society, and we're here in this world. So we have to say, okay, money is here. So what can I do about it? Well, first of all, you have to look at money always differently. Remember the other week when I said I never pick up my wallet, I never look at money, never see money anywhere, that I don't say thank you, God. I never touch it, I never see it in anybody else. When anyone hands me money, when I see money anywhere, I always say, thank you, God. You have to know that money is God in action. And you have to know that it's a way for God to do different things on this plane of action. And that it, you can have that money. That you can have it. You see. That it's not the hard way to get it and all that kind of stuff. Stop thinking that. Start seeing it differently. Start seeing yourself differently. See, we all have bought in to this culture and this society where we have to have money, where we have to have the newest toy, where we have to do this, where we have to do that. With all the technology that we have and so forth, that we go after, are we any happier? Are we any happier because we have a cell phone that can ring every 2 minutes? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, when I was growing up, we had this wonderful thing, and it has left Ray's mind. And it was better living through chemistry. Remember? Better, I think it was Westinghouse or General Electric. DuPont.
They still say it down in certain areas of LA.
Oh, do they? Oh, yeah. Different chemical. Yeah. But that has gone, you know. Now, here's my thought on that. So I grew up with better living through chemistry. What if we all grew up with better living through God? Mm-hmm. Better living through God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? So do that in your life. Put this thing, if you have one little idea of God, if you think, oh, there is a God, then bring God into your life and let God do some of the stuff for you instead of you doing it all. You don't have to have that grunt work done. God will do those things for you. Remember, fun and entertainment committee, ways and means. God knows how to do it. You don't know how to do it. Your mind wants to tell you that you know how to do it. And usually you get yourself into a horrible mess. You know, just admit, I don't know how to do this, but I know you know how to do it, God. And I'm on a wonderful adventure here. And I'm living a wonderful life. And I'm living it, you see, through you, through God. Because God lives its life through us. We're one in the same. We're one in the same. And that is what we have to remember. That's what we have to remember. That we're absolutely perfect. That we were never separated from this thing that we call God. That we were never kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That there's no such thing as the original sin. Those are the lies that we were taught. And those were the myths that we started to believe. And those are the limits that you have placed upon yourself and upon your thinking. So get rid of those. Get rid of those. Know that you live in paradise. Know that you've never committed any sin. Now, each and every person will say, well, I don't think that I did this wrong and I did that wrong and I may have done this and I may have done that. No, forget it. There's no such thing as the original sin or the worst sin or whatever people want to call it. You know that Quimby, Phineas Quimby, who was a great healer, lived in the New England states. And they used to, if somebody was on their deathbed, they would call him and they would call the undertaker at the same time. And whoever got there first got the body. This is true. And if he got the body, he could talk the person back. And what he discovered was that most people think they have committed the ultimate sin. But everybody's ultimate sin was different. So there's no such thing as the ultimate sin.
And there's no such thing as this sin anyway. And this thing that we call God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. So if you're sitting there in judgment of yourself because you think you have committed some sin, some mistake, something horrible, whatever it is, give that up. Let it go. Just let it go. Because that's the limitation that you're placing on yourself. That's the limitation that you're placing on yourself. Remember Rumi, he said, why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? You were the one who's putting yourself in prison. You're putting yourself in prison with those thoughts, those limiting thoughts, those thoughts that somebody, because the world out there told you, oh, you've done something wrong. You have done something wrong. I'm here to tell you, you have done nothing wrong. You have done nothing wrong. You may have made some mistakes. We have all made mistakes. And bless your mistakes. They thank God for mistakes. If you didn't know it was a mistake, you'd keep doing it. You see? That's why mistakes are wonderful. Because you know immediately, oops, made a mistake. If you didn't know it, you'd keep on doing it. That's a gift. A mistake, look at it as a gift. Not as, oh my God, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm horrible, I'm going directly to hell. You know? Don't do that to yourself. Say, oh, thank God for mistakes. Now I know to take a different way. Now I know to take a different path. That's what you need to know. All right, back to this quickly. We're going over to what can you do? What can you do to change this whole way of living? Recognize that 99% of what you think is true is not true. And that is okay. It does not make it bad. You see? It does not make it bad. It is the knot of disbelief that it's time to untie. So untie that knot of disbelief. Get rid of those little disbeliefs. Just know that 99% of what you believe to be true is not true, not the reality, and is like a paper tiger you have allowed to dictate and disempower your dreams. A paper tiger that you have allowed. And how many times have those paper taggers come into our thinking? Oh my God, I'm going to live under the bridge. All my money's going to go. Oh, I'm just worthless. Nothing ever works for me. That's a go eat worms. Paper taggers. Paper taggers. Let it go. Let all your limits go. Become unlimited in your thinking. And learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. Know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And it will change your life. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.